Are we good to go? It's 12 o'clock, on time, as we endeavor to keep time. Polly, good morning. I know we had a very hectic day yesterday, and we finished very late. Testament to our own commitments of hard work in this committee, and I want to thank you very much for your endurance and perseverance, and welcome you to today's briefing by the Special Investigating Unit on matters related to the Department of Water and Sanitation. As you will recall, that we have met with the department, and we did indicate to them that our concerns were gravitating us towards an investigation. And therefore, that being the case, we need to satisfy ourselves that we get the necessary briefings. Also, on the 27th of November 2018, the SIU did brief the Fifth Parliament on matters related to the Department of Water and Sanitation. And so this will be part of that continuation, because the Fifth Parliament had actually started a form of inquiry into water and sanitation, but of course it was at the tail end of that parliament ahead of the elections. So that inquiry is outstanding, as the Fifth Parliament Legacy Report actually does dictate. So we are today going to be receiving that briefing on the status of the SIU investigations, insofar the Department of Water and Sanitation is concerned. And I therefore welcome the head of the SIU, Advocate Ntibi, and his team. And we are going to give you sufficient time to present. It is really a briefing, colleagues, not a hearing. And I think to do justice to that presentation, if I may give the SIU some 40 minutes to go through everything thoroughly, and then we're going to then take questions and have an interaction. Colleagues, if there's anything, please do just in our WhatsApp group as we normally do. Just to drop me that message there. So Ntombi, please, the apologies, put them in the record accordingly. And without any further ado, colleagues, with welcoming you, I would like to hand over to Advocate Ntibi and his team, and ask them to take us through the presentation. It is 93 slides, if I'm not mistaken, and hence I'm saying that let's give them sufficient time. But
Thank
Advocate, if you want time, just let us know, and we will exercise flexibility and agility. But we want to get into the substantive matters quite seriously. So if we can take us here to quarter to one, I think we'll be good to go. I
Well,
hope
thank you.
the issues of The have been sorted out, sharing, so that we don't waste time. Advocate, over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members. We appreciate this opportunity to appear before SCOPA to brief SCOPA on the status of our investigations in the Department of Water Affairs and Sanitation. Because it's the first presentation we do relating to the Department of Water and Sanitation at SCOPA, we have sought to be as detailed as possible. We appreciate that we may not go through each and every detail in the presentation, but members are welcome really to ask questions which we can respond to. We have presented before SCOPA, so I will not go through the SIU mandate pages in the interest of time. However, I need to just indicate upfront, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that we have our lead investigators with me who would then be presenting on their respective investigation areas. I will take questions and respond together with them. And perhaps just to introduce them quickly, I am the first one to take to the floor would be Mrs. Gina Hose, who would take the first part, which is really almost 80% of the presentation. And then she will be followed by Advocate Muida Harun. And then she will be followed by Mrs. Nozipo Jama. And then we do have some of the new allegations which we have received relating to Amatola Water Board and to Lepelle Northern Water Board, which we are busy processing through the proclamation process. We've added them there so that SCOPA is aware of those new allegations. I think of importance, really, as we start, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, I'll go to slide number four. Slide number four really deals with what we call SIU investigation outcomes. And we are going to be talking to almost these outcomes in each and every presentation we do. And these outcomes relate to as we investigate, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, once we reach a stage where there is sufficient evidence to refer a matter for civil litigation, we do institute civil litigation. And our chief legal is here with us, Dr. Wells, who would then, if necessary, field questions relating to the status of civil litigation matters. I also have my colleague, Mr. Pranesh Maharaj, who deals with the proclamation process, who would deal with the new allegations. So as we do our investigations, and there's also a necessity to refer criminal matters, what we do in the investigations, because our investigators are well-versed with criminal investigation capability as well, once we reach a stage where we are of the view that there is evidence pointing to criminality, our law requires us to refer that to the National Prosecuting Authority. And we do that in a manner that almost in a file form, and then refer it to NPA. We are currently engaging with NPA to ensure that those matters are dealt with as efficiently as possible, because they've got their own internal processes that side. But our interest is to ensure that they are dealt with as quickly as possible in the interest of holding those responsible to account. And we also then refer evidence of misconduct where officials, and it will come up in most of the presentations, where officials are allegedly guilty of misconduct, we send those to the accounting authorities or accounting officers, as the case may be. So we expect the accounting officers to take action. We also then come across evidence that relates to other regulatory infractions. Then we refer them to specific regulators like SARS, like the Institute relating to auditors, IRBA, Institute of Directors. There's various instances where we would have evidence that points, particularly in various, if I were to make an example of Lepelle Northern Water, we are of the view that we have a basis there to also go and take action against the board of directors there. But that will come up as we present. And then ultimately, we then submit our report to the president. But all of these actions, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, we action them even long before we submit the report. And I'm emphasising that simply because we emphasise the speed of taking action against those who are accountable. As we say there underneath, that we do not wait until the presidential report. We take immediate remedial action as soon as evidence is sufficient. SIU will pursue officials who are employed elsewhere within government service when they resign from the department to avoid disciplinary action. We have noticed that in various instances that officials, when they are faced with disciplinary processes, they submit a resignation. And that, of course, from a labor relations perspective, ends the employer-employee relationship, and the current employer cannot take action, but they pop up in other state institutions. So we have engaged DPSA, we have engaged COCTA. We would like to make sure that those officials are pursued wherever they are in government. Chair, that's really laying the basis. And the next slide, which is slide number 5, just really indicates the skills which we employ in doing our work. Those skills are similar to every forensic investigation outfit, be it in the private or in the public. So we are satisfied that as SIU, we do have the skills to conduct the investigations. I'm going to pause here with your permission, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, hand over to my colleague, Mrs. Gina House, who will take over here and then just proceed straight to the next section of the presentation. Gina, over to you. Thank you. Can she hear?
Yes, sorry, she is.
Sorry. Thank you, sir, and afternoon, Chair and members. I'll be discussing the first 4 proclamations that you see there on slide 7, going all the way back to 2008, where we started at Mthuthuzi Water Board. Each of these proclamations, as they are set out in the presentation, gives you the mandate. I'm not going to present that. It's there for your reading. We have also submitted a copy of these proclamations to the Secretariat, so they are available to look at the detailed mandate and the focus areas that are set out. So I won't present those in detail. I will go into the more pertinent matters and setting out the actual outcomes of our investigations. All right, this slide 9, sets out our actual summary of outcomes of all the proclamations that the SIU is involved in. We have a total of 3 matters that are before court, Vuvani, GDHS, and LNW. We also have 7 ASU referrals and 36 NPA referrals. A total of 23 disciplinary referrals have been handed over to the various accounting officers, 20 SARS referrals and 3 CIDB referrals, as well as the presidential reports. They are all listed that we've completed. A final report on Mthuthuzi, a final report on R44, which was the general investigation, and a final report as well on the Lepele, on the Vuvani matter, and then a final report on Gauteng human settlements. We've done an interim report on Lepele. Getting into the Mthuthuzi Water Board, I will go straight to slide 14, which sets out a summary of our findings.
Honorable Chair, so sorry to cut across. Gina, can you please run the presentation? I think it's still stuck on the first page of the proclamation. So sorry about that, Chair.
To present, I hope it's effective. I've just given it right now.
All right, there we go. Okay, we should all be on slide 14.
Yes, on my side.
Fantastic. Great. Thank you, Chairman, for that. All right. So this sets out the summary of our findings at Mthuthuzi. As I said, this is a very old proclamation that was done in 2008. In general, our findings there that the SCM processes were not followed. Controls and policies were insufficient to mitigate the financial losses that were suffered there. The team also found documentation had been destroyed, either negligently or intentionally, which hampered the investigation. The Mthuthuzi Water Board failed to keep records of their financial transactions. And the majority of the contracts for the tender that was awarded totaled over 19 million rand, and they were unable to find those contracts. So that really hindered the outcomes of this investigation and resulted in various contraventions of the PFMA, as well as the maintaining of records by the Water Board. The actual outcomes of this investigation is the criminal case of fraud and corruption was opened against an employee at the Water Board and the service provider who paid gratification. And this case was reported at Richards Bay with the CAS numbers dated there. And then a criminal case of contravention of the PFMA was opened against the board members of the time at Mthuthuzi. This matter is also being dealt with by the Richards Bay CAS number that's referred there. Both matters registered in 2010, and the DPCI are handling these two criminal investigations. There were employees implicated at Mthuthuzi, but they resigned prior to the investigation being completed. And that investigation period covered 2004 to 2008, when there were two different boards there. And our final report went to the president on the 30th of April 2013. Getting on to more recent matters, Proclamation R54 of 2012. The mandate is set on out there up to page 19. And getting into the meat of the matter, there we conducted an investigation into approximately 34 allegations. All of these were completed with successful outcomes, and we submitted a presidential report on the 15th of December 2016. Just prior to us finalizing that report, we received new allegations regarding the Vuvani steel pipeline, which we commenced with investigating in late 2014, and we submitted a final report on that specific aspect of Vuvani steel pipeline on 28 October 2018. In respect of the broader matter, there were 58 different referrals which were made as a result of outcomes of our investigations. Those we go into detail in the slides to follow. We also follow up regularly with the NPA. We have a memorandum of understanding with them. And just as a general feedback on all our matters with the NPA, we can report that there has been a dedicated capacity which has been set up at the NPA, which we liaise with, and they track progress on all the SIU's criminal referrals. That way we continue to see these matters through to prosecution. The SIU also meets very regularly with the department's internal consequence management team, which consists of HR, legal and internal audit. And we're getting very good cooperation at the moment from them, as well as the DG's office in respect of updates on disciplinaries that they are dealing with. The next two slides I won't go into, but they just cover the general procurement findings that we made at during the course of that investigation. Getting into some of the detailed matters now, the first one is Mr. Senekwane, that matter there. He was a SAP consultant, which was on contract with the department. The SIU was asked to assist in the matter. We helped fast-track the prosecution. The accused was charged and convicted on the 13th of July 2012 on three counts of theft to the value of 2.8 million rand. In essence, what happened is he simply transferred Water Affairs money into his personal bank account in three different transactions, as he had access to the SAP system, being a SAP super user at the department. The accused was sentenced to 7 years imprisonment. The SIU also pursued the civil recovery of these monies, the 2.8 million, and we managed to get a default judgment for the full 2.8 million. This was one of the first cases that went to court when the SIU received its ability to litigate again in terms of legislation. Unfortunately, we did not make an actual recovery here, as Mr. Senekwane was in jail and his business had been liquidated. The Sundays River Valley Municipality, there the SIU investigated a 18 million rand upgrade to the Paterson Bulk Water Supply Project in the Eastern Cape. And this was done via Amatola Water Board and Sundays River Valley Municipality. The municipality, it was found, used the funds and was unable to account for 7.9 million rand, which it had spent on salaries, as they were very financially cash strapped. SIU assisted the department and declared a formal intergovernmental dispute. And in February of 2014, we attended a mediation meeting, and a repayment arrangement was agreed for the outstanding balance of 5.8 million. SIU is pleased to say that we continue to monitor the monthly installments of these monies, and that the full 5.8 million rand was recovered money in the bank for the department on that matter. The next 7 and 28 go into the details of conflict of interest investigations. These are investigations where the SIU's data analysis identified officials who had businesses and whose businesses traded with the department. In total, the department paid out these officials 8.9 million rand. The three slides, 26 through to 28, detail these actual officials, as well as the companies that they had and the date when we referred our matter to the department. Based on the last engagement that SCOPA had with the department, we've also augmented our information here to include the rank of the official at the time and currently, as well as the charges that each official faced. So the details as well as the outcomes are in there, and we're pleased to report that there is only one of the nine that have not been concluded of these investigations. The companies that they had are also listed there, and on the last slide you see the total value of 8.9 million that the department paid its own officials doing business with them. Slides are also tables 29 and 30. These ones detail the disciplinary actions taken as a result of SCM investigations. So these were more complex investigations, and where the officials had either committed fraud or dishonest acts in respect of awarding contracts, not necessarily to themselves, but to other companies. There again, we've put the charges in as well as the ranks of the officials, so one can see the level that they were at the time. Seven officials' disciplinary action has been initiated, we're pleased to say, and only two have been finalized thus far. The status is listed on the right-hand side column there, and this was as at the 10th of June, which we received from the DG's office at the department. One important one I would like to point out is number 1 and 2 on slide 29, Ms. Kuluse. As Advocate Matibi, our head, mentioned, where officials...
Just one second. So whether it's on my side only, but the slides are not moving. I'm not sure if other colleagues have...
We're on slide 29.
All right. All right, you can proceed, Chair, ma'am. Yes.
Thank you.
No, Chair, I was just going to check if everybody else has got the same problem. I'm on slide 29. I just wanted to ask you to check if everybody is moving along.
I'm checking. My side says frozen.
I'm still on proclamation. There is a yellow page. And the ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I'm on proclamations as well.
Yeah. Can that be
following on the what was emailed to us?
We'll check what's going on with that.
All right, colleagues, if you've got a problem, just like Mubabulis, please just make use of what is in your emails. You can split your screen. All right, Mrs. Host, you can continue. Sorry about that. Sure.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry about that. We're all still brushing up our skills on our virtual meeting abilities. So I'll continue to refer to slide numbers so that everyone can keep track of where we are. So slide 29, the first employee, Ms. Kuluse, who's listed there. This is an example of one of the matters where we have managed to follow the official. She resigned from the Department of Water Affairs and was re-employed in government service at another department. So in terms of Section 16B of the Public Service Act, we have worked with the DG of Water Affairs and referred her disciplinary to her new DG at the Department of Social Development. So that's a good example of the Public Service Act in action there. Slide 30 gives the details of the rest of the officials and their disciplinaries, and numbers 6 and 7 on slide 30 have been finalized. So we're glad to see that there is progress in getting these disciplinaries completed. Slide 31. Now, the following slides, 31, 32, and 33, all deal with the summary of other actions and outcomes as a result of our investigations. This is the highlights of the numbers of criminal referrals, the value of referrals to the AFU for recovery, and VAT referrals, as well as the status thereof. So you'll see some of those companies' names were mentioned earlier. They obviously now, where there was disciplinary action, there's also criminal action that follows as well. And it doesn't matter if the person resigns, the AFU and criminal action will continue to follow them and to be completed there. As you can see, a total of 40 million rand was involved there for potential recovery. We're pleased to advise that 5.8 of that was recovered through the Sundays River one, and the rest is being dealt with asset forfeiture unit to try and recover those matters. 28 is the total number of criminal referrals there, and 13 SARS referrals for further investigation by SARS. The SIU did have some issues regarding the consequence management, and we wrote to the Director General of Water Affairs in October 2018 requesting delays in implementing some of the disciplinaries, which in some cases there was 4 years had passed and there was no action. Since then, the SIU has seen an improvement from the department in respect of their consequence management. A concern was also raised by the SIU regarding disciplinary matters that were closed based on representations by the officials without consulting with us, and we are engaging with the department on understanding their reasons for not proceeding with certain cases. We also write regularly to the DG of the DPSA to check where officials who've resigned may have popped up in government service elsewhere so that we can refer their disciplinaries with the DG in terms of Section 16B as set out in the last bullet there. And this we've managed to do successfully in one case thus far. Slide 35, we now dive into the Vuvani pipeline matter. These are some of the observations that were made by the team on the ground in late 2018. There was no water going through the pipeline and communities were still not getting the benefit. There was a 3-kilometer section that had been damaged and not repaired. Various parts of inside of the pipeline were loose and needed repair, which was confirmed by the project managers Big in Africa, and the department then had an issue with funding to complete that project. There were various project management issues also identified by the SIU that I'm not going to go into the detail there, but basically showing poor project management as well as supervision, financial management, and record keeping. Slide 37 sets out some of the outcomes of our investigation there. It has been completed and our final presidential report was submitted in October 2018. The contract that was awarded there in 2012 had a value of just over 15 million rand and should have been completed in 45 weeks. When we got involved, 29 million had been paid to Eskom already. And subsequent to the awarding of that contract, they simply failed to perform. And instead of the department implementing penalties, the department entered into a supplementary agreement which waived penalties and then provided for a 16 million rand advance payment to Eskom Construction to improve its cash flow, which obviously constituted a complete disregard and Willis contravention of provisions of the contract and the PFMA there. On the 9th of February, we wrote to the DG at the time and advised them not to proceed with the payment of 8.5 million to the construction company. Those recommendations were accepted and that 8.5 million rand payment was stopped. We also advised the department that approximately 13 million rand paid to them already as an advance payment was irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Outcomes of this investigation, an NPA referral pointing towards evidence, pointing towards fraud involving the company and its director was made in September of 2018. A disciplinary referral pointing towards misconduct of the DDG at the water trading entity was referred on the 30th of July. We're pleased to advise that this hearing is underway and was actually set down for closing arguments on the 14th of April 2020. Unfortunately, it did not proceed due to lockdown, and a new date needs to be arranged. She is on precautionary suspension. Unfortunately, Water Affairs offices are currently closed due to a positive COVID-19 case, and this has frustrated progress in setting down a new date for the matter. Her misconduct involved gross negligence in the performance of her duties and contravention of PFMA, Treasury regulations, as well as the Department's SCM policy and the CIDB Act. Further outcomes for the Vuvani investigation: 3 SARS referrals regarding the company and officials for tax discrepancies and unexplained income, as well as evidence referred to the Construction and Industry Development Board pointing towards fraud committed by the company in the grading process. And they came back to us and informed us that they are conducting the inquiry in respect of the referral we made to them. Further outcomes: the SIU has initiated civil litigation by way of a claim of damages. It was originally for 140 million and it was amended to 95 million. The matter is currently in court. Summons was issued 6th of February 2018 in the name of the SIU, and the plaintiffs are all listed there as well. Asco Construction, Dan Sikosana, who's the director, Ms. Marte, as well as Mr. Mofokeng, the former CFO at Water Affairs. These documents and details are public, as the matter is in the public domain in court. The status of our civil litigation on slide 42. I'm just going to go to the last bullet there. It's currently subject to case management in the High Court in Pretoria, and it's envisaged the case management meeting will proceed in the third week of June 2020. This case management process has been brought in to specifically fast track and prioritise a lot of the SIU matters with a view to getting them into court quickly. More current investigations: Lepele Northern Water. This proclamation R22 covered both Lepele Northern Water and Gauteng Human Settlements and the contracts that were awarded by LTE to those ones. The following slide sets out the mandate of the SIU, and slide 47 sets out some of our project management issues that were identified there. Our investigations revealed serious maladministration and malpractice, failure to comply with public service management, failure to heed the engineering advice, poor project management, poor oversight, and poor financial management and record keeping. Our team's observations: there was no water, and the price of the boreholes that was paid was excessive in terms of the going price at that particular time, and that water treatment plants worked only for 1 month. SIU is still conducting a value for money exercise where we are utilizing the skills of expert engineers in the field to go and assess the work completed on the ground in terms of this contract. We have a draft report which is currently under review. In November of 2019, the SIU conducted a search and seizure at Lepele Northern Water in order to obtain some of the documents needed for the value for money exercise. From the document seized, it's clear that LNW continued with the services of a contract after they received the summons. The contract value, also we have found evidence, has been escalated from 2.2 billion to 3.2 billion Rand. And the additional expenditure of over a billion will be added to our current litigation purposes. Those responsible will be held to account, and this the value for money is still ongoing. Lepele outcomes: we've issued summons on the 26th of November 2018 in the High Court. The civil litigation is to set aside the contract there. The parties are listed: Lepele Northern Water Board, Cato, Zambezi, Mopani District Municipality, LTE, and the Department. Pleadings have been exchanged, and it looks like we will be getting a hearing date quite soon on that matter. Slide 51, the outcomes there: the SIU referred evidence